And a good afternoon, everyone. Time for another Taco Tuesday. We get together every week at this time with Amber Boyens, registered dietitian and nutritionist, and talk about eating and your health and, well, a lot of the connections between eating and your health.
You got it.
That's what we're going to be talking about today. The topic is emotional eating. Tell us about it, Amber.
Yeah, absolutely. So I had posted an article yesterday, a new article that came out in the Journal of the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. The nice thing about it is it's a free article out of the journal. So if anybody wants to read it after this, you can go onto the IMI Nutrition Facebook page and click the little link. But it didn't have, some of the information there is new, but basically it was about emotional eating, and especially in preschoolers, and kind of when we start to develop emotional eating. And when we think about what emotional eating is it's when we eat out of sadness or frustration or joy, or really eating out of any emotion rather than eating out of hunger. And I have so many patients that I've worked with and I'm currently working with who talk about eating, being emotional eaters. When I ask them about their relationship with food, one of the first things they say is, oh, I'm a stress eater, or I'm an anxiety eater. I eat when I've got anxiety.
Or if you get bored, I suppose.
Or nothing, boredom
nothing
eater.
Nothing else to do, so you just eat for something to do. I suppose that's a problem too.
That is too, yeah. And that's one of those things where when we use food as a reward, as a distraction, or to kind of make it better, that is a learned behavior, and we tend to learn it in these really early years. So like I said in my personal post on this, my 1- and 4-year-olds are already starting to shape how they're going to look at food based on what I'm modeling and what I'm teaching them. So when we have an argument between kids, or a kid falls, and or they're just emotional about something, and as a parent you say something like, would a cookie make it feel better, or would a fruit snack make that feel better? Or we do something like that to try to distract them away from the situation, kind of move on. What that teaches is that when I have big emotions, food will help it. So it can be an easy thing to go to. I think a lot of parents have done it. It's quick. It's convenient. It's pretty effective. But again, probably too effective, because that strategy lasts with us forever. So instead of going to food for rewards, and what I mean by rewards too is, you know, when we tell kids, well, you've been such a good behavior, or you've been so good, or you had a really rough day, let's go get some ice cream. Or adults will say, I've had a long week, I deserve a second ice cream sandwich, or whatever it might be. And all of that stuff is really using food to manage emotions when other coping mechanisms would probably be better. Emotional eating is pretty highly linked with difficulty with weight management.
I was told by parents I wanted money.
Yeah, well, that's...
Give me money instead.
So no when food. We talk about non-food rewards, if you want to go to money, that is a strategy.
it didn't work.
You can also go to small things. Like one of our things at home that we'll use a lot is Play-Doh or Kinetic Sand or Orbeez. You know, you don't have to buy new stuff every time. You just get it out, and it's an activity that you can do or an experience. Other experiences, you know, playing a game, doing some art, getting crayons and markers out and kind of drawing and dealing with emotions that way. We like to build obstacle courses in our house of different things that we already have. It's a good distraction and a little bit of physical activity. Or do scavenger hunts. Our kids love dance parties. All you have to do is throw on a little music and wear off some energy and bring the mood back up. But even things like stickers, Band-Aids, we have so many different kinds of Band-Aids in our house right now. We've got Pixar Band-Aids. We've got Lightyear Band-Aids. We've got blue Band-Aids. So little things like that can be a really good distraction, reward, anything like that that doesn't bring food into it.
How about just a little attention?
Absolutely. Sometimes that's all that they're looking for, right? It's just a little one-on-one time. Read a book.
Instead of saying, you're fine, don't worry about it.
That's right. You
know, give them a hug or something instead.
Absolutely.
And spend a little time with them. Maybe
a little snuggle. Yeah, right. Harrison heals with a little snuggle almost all the time. So other things that this study showed outside of those food rewards and emotional eating is really paying attention to, in your household, what kind of restrictions are there around food? Do your kids see you making restrictions? And of course, if there are foods that don't make you feel very well, or allergies, of course, there are going to be certain restrictions that are maybe necessary. But unnecessary restrictions tend to lead to things being more desirable. So if certain things are completely off limits, like there's no sugar because we've labeled it a bad food. There's no cookies. There's no cupcakes. And not that you have to keep that stuff in your house all the time. It's just that those things are intentionally restricted, talked about as a restriction, labeled as a bad food. They tend to become more desirable. And when we think about that food reward, when we say, well, you can have a cookie after you've eaten this other food on your plate, it's the same thing. We're creating this kind of pedestal of a food in the sweets, and it makes it a more desirable thing. And again, that relationship tends to last into adulthood as well. So just modeling healthy behavior around food is really the best thing we can do. And especially letting kids kind of listen to their body's cues. So another thing that the study talked about that we have a tendency to do is to say, if they say they're full and we look at their plate, to just say, well, just take a few more bites for me. Well, what that's teaching is that you shouldn't listen to your body when it tells you you're full. So if kids say they're full, trying to let them listen to this. Of course, there are certainly exceptions. If you and your care team have established a different plan with your kids, obviously go with that plan. But for most families, letting kids kind of listen to those hunger and fullness cues, you can still set boundaries. So if you still have meal times and they say they're not hungry, well, maybe they don't have to eat at that point, but maybe you still want them to sit at the table with the family, and that's okay. Maybe their food is still in front of them and they change their mind that they are hungry. That's fine. But letting them listen to those hunger and fullness cues. And this doesn't mean that, you know, kids get to choose that they're only going to eat candy or anything like that. In our house, we talk about things nourishing versus not nourishing. So candy doesn't make you strong. It's not a bad food. But things like proteins, chicken and veggies and all of that wonderful stuff, that's going to help make you strong. So even just thinking about the language that we use around food versus creating those labels of making it a bad thing, an error, a mistake, anything like that, can be kind of just a little language shift that can make a big difference in how we eat. We do the sweet treat if we're going to have something, and we certainly don't have sweets every day or with every meal, but we tend to put it with the meal. So rather than it being a reward at the end, it's just something that's also on the plate. And because our kids don't tend to, of course they like candy, right? I think you saw them at the parade. They gathered more than they need.
Like a bucket full there.
Yes. Yes. We have way more candy than any family needs in their home right now.
Most do, I think.
Yes. So it's not that that's not a desirable food, but it's not put on another level of being more desirable. It's kind of psychologically equal, not nutritionally equal to other food, but psychologically equal to other food, in that all food provides energy. It's just different types of food provide different nourishment for our body. So even thinking about the language that you use at home, thinking about how often you use food as a reward, thinking about how often we're restricting foods in an unnecessary way, can shape how your kids see food the rest of their life.
I just happened to think of another topic that we could talk about sometime as you were talking about making kids eat what's on their plate.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe they're full.
Yes.
Maybe you've given them too much food. Kind of like when you go into the restaurant, you know, when you get this like mound of fries and a huge hamburger, you know, maybe they should give you a little bit less.
Yeah. So, and that can be a good strategy sometimes.
Eat at all because you've given them too much food.
You got it. And that's, a restaurant is such a good example. And I had that conversation with somebody else today that when we have all of it on our plate and the expectation is that we eat it all, again, we're just ignoring all of our body's cues for hunger and fullness. And trust me, I appreciate that it's frustrating to throw food away when we do put too much on there, or if they think that they're going to get their peanut butter and jelly sandwich if they just don't eat what's on their plate. Of course, you can set rules and boundaries around food in your home, and every family is going to be different. Every child is going to be different. I have a post on the ImmuNutrition website that talks about this a little bit and just kind of strategies that you can do to make some of that a little bit less stressful at home.
All right. Well, talk about your website and how they can get a hold of you.
Well, you can go to ImmuNutrition.com. That's I-M-U and then the word nutrition.com. And there's a little place on there that you can contact me. You can also go to the ImmuNutrition Facebook page. Reach out to me there. All the blog posts, everything can be found in either place.
All right. Sounds good. And you're right here in Madison, Minnesota.
So I sure
can
am.
Find you right here.
Absolutely.
All right. We'll talk again next week on Taco Tuesday.
Sounds great. Thank
Thanks,
you.
Amber Boyan's with us today for another show.